We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois, situated in the beautiful rural setting of Southern Illinois. It's kind of become a competition here.
It is beautiful.
And we have with us, again, we have some wonderful female insights as my wife. Karen, introduce yourself.
I'm Lynn Lukumski, and I am the principal at Emmanuel Lutheran School in Oakville, Illinois, and they actually have more shops than New Athens does.
Has more what?
They have more shops.
More
there.
Shops.
Yeah, lots more shops.
More
shopping
places there to buy underwear than New Athens.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Lots more places to go eat. And it's also rural. When you come into town, you see all kinds of tractors for sale.
There you go.
So we do not have any tractors
no
for
tractors.
Sale. No.
And seriously, though, Oakville's a place you want to go if you want farm equipment. In fact, what is it? Twice a year, they have this gigantic
auction
with any kind of tractor equipment. If you need a tractor equipment or
I know
a plow
where to go.
Or whatever, go to Oakville.
I'll tell them I know Lynn Lukumski.
That's right. Tell them you know Lynn.
We have to say, wait.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe
so we didn't
all
do this
three,
last
maybe.
Week.
Maybe we can all three
all right.
Say it
you,
together.
You know what this show is? Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
Wrestling with the basics. Very good.
Now, we have some serious business we have to get to, but my wife insisted that we would tell a few jokes before
I'm
the show
sure
starts.
I'm sure she did.
These are jokes that she picked out that she thought were really, really funny jokes. So if you don't like these, contact them. So here's number one. I bought the world's worst thesaurus yesterday. Not only is it terrible, it's terrible. What? You don't like that
goodness.
One? I bought the world's
that's
worst
pretty
thesaurus.
Good, actually. I kind of like that not one. Honest.
Well, I only, Lynn would only, you know, these are not the kind of stupid jokes I would pick out.
Of course not.
No. How many police officers does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. How many police officers does it take?
None. The light bulb turned itself in.
Holy cow.
Okay, well, apparently we don't want to end with that one then.
No, we don't. Here we go.
Lynn, I'll let you do the punchline on this one. Why do chicken coops have two doors? Why do chicken coops have two doors?
Well, if it had four doors, it would be a chicken sedan.
Get it?
Chicken.
All right, well, we should have stopped with the thesaurus, I guess.
It was kind of downhill from there.
Well, I'm sorry, Lynn. You did your best.
Quit making things up.
So what is the peculiar, the crazy story?
All right, now. There's no time for foolishness.
Yeah. Let's get to it. Yeah. So last week we talked about the brazen hussy
in
Luke, chapter 7, the Gospel of Luke. Now we want to look at a brazen hussy, maybe the brazenness of hussies in the Bible. We want to look at wicked, terrible. You pick the adjective, Queen Jezebel.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
And her name still stands today for that kind of brazen hussiness.
Yeah, how many Jezebels do you know? How many friends do you have named Jezebel? How many people did you graduate from high school with named Jezebel? Probably not too many.
No.
Because her name is sort of still synonymous with evil.
Yep.
With evil.
Yep. Wickedness.
So we've got some good accounts coming up. One is, we mentioned a couple weeks ago, we want to look at Ehud and Eglon. And Eglon is that very fat man, as the Bible describes him. So we'll get to him, Ehud and Eglon. But this week, let's take a look at Queen Jezebel.
So where do you want to start,
Queen
Matt?
Jezebel. Well, I want to start in a verse from the New Testament, just one verse.
Okay. All right.
But I think we want to keep it in mind as we look at Jezebel's account, as we look at how this applies to us today, too. But from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, which says, God is not mocked.
Okay.
Yeah. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So it sort of makes sense. I mean, it's kind of a common sense type thing. You sow corn, you reap corn. You sow wheat, you reap wheat. But also in a spiritual sense, yeah, is it true too? You sow sin, you reap sin and its consequences.
You know, Paul says that. He says that in his epistle, too. In the epistle of Galatians, he says that you reap what you sow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he must have followed that Jesus guy, you think?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it makes sense. But then we look at our world and we think, well, is that really happening, though, God? Paul, is that really taking place? You know, we look at, you know, things like a bully at school who hurts other children with words and actions, you know, seems to be oppressing them. We think of some government leaders who maybe are corrupt and are just out for themselves and not serving the people that they've been elected to serve. We think of terrorism. We think of groups like ISIS getting away with all sorts of stuff. And we really begin to think, you know, is it true that God's not mocked? Is it really true that you reap what you sow? Because it seems like some people are getting away with murder, literally.
It seems that way, doesn't it, Matt?
Yeah. Wow. So today we look at this account of Jezebel then and how this might apply to her life, these words of the Apostle Paul. So Jezebel, just a little bit of background on Jezebel. Jezebel was born a princess, born in Phoenicia. She marries King Ahab of Israel.
Okay.
Their union sort of unites their kingdoms. Right away, though, Jezebel is on a mission to get rid of the worship of the one true God, of the Lord.
What's that all about? Why didn't she, like, just because she wasn't born an Israelite?
Brazen hussy, I guess. Evil, I guess, is the best explanation. In fact, she drives out the prophets of the Lord. She seeks to put them to death, including Elijah, that well-known prophet. She builds different places of worship for Baal, and it's terrible. It's awful. She's leading her husband, Ahab, and really the whole nation away from the Lord. And it becomes clear pretty quickly that Ahab is just sort of a puppet now in the hands of his wife, Jezebel. So there's some bad people, bad men, bad women in the Bible. We think of like Potiphar's wife. She's pretty bad. Delilah and Samson, she's pretty bad.
Another one.
But Jezebel's...
How many Delilahs do you know?
Not many. Not a lot. That's a good point. How many? Yeah. How many Mrs. Potiphar's do you know?
That's right.
We don't know her
name.
Not a one. Neither do I. But Jezebel's the worst, though.
Yeah.
The worst. Okay, so we want to look at one instance where she does something dastardly when it comes to a guy's vineyard. This poor guy named Naboth, he seems to be a pretty faithful guy. So we want to start there with Naboth, and then we're going to...
Okay.
What the weird, peculiar account we really want to get to, though, is Jezebel's death.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's gory
save time
and gruesome.
For that.
So we want to get to that. But but first, we want to kind of set
the stage.
We're
all good people, but we're really into the gory and gruesome.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
Maybe that says something about us. But anyway, we're at here, Matt.
All right. Well, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 21, where we meet Naboth. So, Lynn, do you mind reading verses 1 through 3?
Certainly. Now, Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or, if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers."
Okay. So it's a nice vineyard, great location, next to the palace.
Location.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Ahab wants it. He's going to turn it into his vegetable garden. You'll even give him money for it if you want.
Well, right there, you see, the guy likes vegetables. That makes
That's
me suspicious.
He's probably going to plant kale, even.
Yeah.
So Naboth, though, says, well, no. And it's sort of a faithful answer here because it's more than just because he likes his vineyard, but it's the inheritance of his fathers. You know, as they came to the promised land, this is the land they got.
Yeah.
And this is his land. It's a faithful response to Ahab. The law is on Naboth's side. This is his right to this land. And so he turns him down, says, no. Good answer.
And you know, the thing that I think we need to point, because I always use this in confirmation class in the discussion of thou shalt not covet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what at this point, there's no sin here. You see something, that's okay. Because he wants to get it legitimately. He'll trade property. He'll pay a fair wage for it. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with wanting things and trying to achieve them in a right and proper fashion. No sin here. Although, yeah, it always impresses me, like you said, that Naboth's response is a response of faith. Sure, I would sell it to you, but this is what the Lord gave me. And I can't do that. Which makes me think, well, maybe there is sin already in the request of Ahab, because maybe Ahab should have been thinking about that before he offered to buy.
Yeah,
well,
this is kind of
okay.
I think so. Faithfulness on the part of Naboth, but I think the other thing is, boy, he had to have some guts. The king himself comes to you, and you turn down the king.
That's right.
But yet he does. It seems to be in faith. Yeah. So even if he's not coveting yet, as you pointed out, it seems like he does real soon, especially as we see his response here in verse 4, what Ahab does next when he doesn't get his way.
And Ahab went into his house, vexed and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and wouldn't eat no food.
So he throws a temper tantrum, right?
Pouting.
He's pouting. He refuses to eat, and like a toddler, you know, who's upset about something, and just pouts.
What are you looking at me like that for, Lynn? I only did that every once in a while. I don't do it all the time.
He eventually eats again, right?
That's right. The eating part doesn't last too long. Okay.
So,
Michael asking my wife how I respond when I don't get what I want, but that's okay.
Here's this wife's response. Let's look at this wife's response.
So maybe you could learn something from this, man.
I don't know.
What you should do when I'm pouting.
So, what does Jezebel do? Verses 5 through 7.
But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so vexed that you eat no food? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said to him, do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.
Okay, so she's...
In contrast...
What does Lynn do for you?
Lynn says, get over it. That's what she says. Get over it. She's a very loving and compassionate person.
I'm sure.
But she doesn't ever tell me to go ahead and let's... Well, thank heavens she doesn't...
No, we don't want her to be like Jezebel. That's not good.
That's right. It's not good. It's not good.
Okay. So Jezebel, she seems kind of ashamed of him, right?
Big
weenie, come on. Get over it. She's just kind of saying get over it. And she takes matters into her own hands.
Big weenie.
Big weenie. That's in the original Hebrew text.
There you go. Okay.
So
we're doing our own translation pretty soon. Watch for it in your stores.
It's a little loose. So anyway, what does she mean by that? She's going to take matters in her own hands. She'll take care of things. What does Jezebel have in mind? Well, here we go. Verses 8 through 10.
So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. And she sent the letters to the elders and the leaders who lived with Naboth in his city. And she wrote in the letters, proclaim a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people. And set two worthless men opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, you have cursed God and the king. And then take him out and stone him to death. And the men of his city, the elders and the leaders who lived in this city.
Well, that's good, Lynn. We'll stop there. So that's her plan, and that's exactly what happens. And then the rest of the account really just sort of plays that out. But they come, and they have this fast. Naboth is seated there. They put two scoundrels, worthless men next to him. They make this false accusation that he cursed God and the king, both of them. And they drag Naboth out, stone him to death. He dies.
Yep.
Well, the king gets his property and Ahab gets his vineyard. All right.
And so when I'm doing this with the Ten Commandments, you know, I say to the kids, so you think coveting doesn't seem like a big deal, right? So you're desiring something that doesn't belong to you, that you're not supposed to have. What's the big deal? I'm just having these desires, right? We all have desires. But then I point out that's what happens with desires. Then you start breaking the other commandments. So you bear false witness, right? You got these two guys to lie about Naboth. And then you got thou shalt not kill, so Naboth gets murdered. Then you got thou shalt not steal, because you take away the property that belonged to Naboth. So, yeah, the thought's really, really important. And that's why God, at the end of the commandments, includes, thou shalt not covet. Because it's not just what you do on the outside, it's what you're doing in your heart, which, of course, God sees. Maybe no one else sees, but God does see that. So.
Yes. Oh, that's a great segue, because it seems like Jezebel gets away literally with murder. Wait a second. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. What's going on? Well, God has something to say about it. So he sends the prophet here to the prophet Elijah to speak to him, to Ahab and Ahab speak a word to Jezebel too. So why don't we skip down to verse 20, Lynn, if you don't mind. Verse 20 through 23.
Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" He answered, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the anger for which you have provoked me, and because you have made Israel to sin." And of Jezebel, the Lord also said, "The dogs shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel."
Oh, okay. So maybe she didn't get away with it. Ahab, bad news for Ahab, but even more bad news and pretty specific bad news for wicked Queen Jezebel, that dogs are going to eat her within the walls of Jezreel.
And yet, you know what surprises me here? Is that why doesn't God just send down a lightning bolt and kill both of them? You know what I'm saying?
A lot more efficient, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. But I get a sense that even in all this wickedness, God would still have King Ahab and, yes, even Jezebel repent. Because I'm thinking, if I got this message from God, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I've sinned. Is there anything that could possibly be done to reverse this consequence? Yes. It sounds like a pretty powerful call to repent here.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Good job, John.
Did I steal
your thunder last week? You stole my thunder this week. No, that's all right. I'm joking. what we need to do is we pick up the story now, and we're going to, you would hope that Jezebel would repent, and she has plenty of time to do it.
Is that right?
Because guess what? When we look at her death now, God's word really does happen. No surprise there. A dog's eat her up in this gory, gruesome, ghastly death of Jezebel. We got to turn all the way to 2 Kings, though, chapter 9, to see it. Because guess what happens? 20 years pass.
You're kidding.
So Ahab dies. Jezebel is still in control.
Yeah.
You know, by this time she's, into her older age. And guess what? God still hasn't made good on this promise. You know, we're kind of left wondering, well, wait a second, God, no one can mock you. A person reaps what they sow. Well, what about Jezebel? She's still alive. She's still queen. But now finally, even though it took 20 years, God's timing, God keeps his promise.
Well, and I'm thinking if her husband died, that might have made her think twice too, because apparently God's going to catch up with you sooner or later. But even that didn't cause her to...
Yeah. So really, we look at this on the one hand and say, 20 years, oh boy, God is so slow in keeping his promise. Why did it take so long? But on the other hand, we can see, well, maybe God was, perhaps, as you suggest, be merciful to Jezebel, an opportunity to repent.
No, I'm not stealing your thunder, am I? Because it just sounds like you were quoting Peter.
Yeah, so in terms of Christ's return, think about that.
Yeah,
God's made a promise that there's going to be a last day. He'll judge the living and the dead. That's why Christ returns. And we kind of look around and think, there's injustices, Lord.
That's right. What's
a man
going
reap
on?
What he shows. No one mocks God. I don't know.
Every
people
week
look,
somebody's
mocking
blowing
you.
Somebody up and,
exactly.
and terror continues. And
so on the one hand, we can look at that and say, God, you know, have you forgotten us? Or have you forgot your promise? But on the other hand, we can look at it and say, well, maybe God is being patient. Maybe he's allowing time for us and for others to come to repentance.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
God is not slow as some count slowness, but he's being patient. And of course, the part that always bothered me about that text is he says, waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Not waiting for the other guy, yeah, but waiting for you to repent. Anyway, so yeah, I distracted you here. So what happens next?
Well, we need
20 years.
This is what we've been working up to, and you know we're almost out of time, unfortunately. But we'll at least get started and just see how far we get this week. We might need to continue a little bit next week. But Lynn, if you want to keep reading, you're doing a great job. You want to? We're in 2 Kings chapter 9. Let's begin with verse 30, and we'll just see how far we get.
Okay. Verse 30, when Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out of the window. And as Jehu entered the gate, she said, is it peace, you Zimri, murderer of your master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? Two or three eunuchs looked out at him. He said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and they trampled on her. Then he went in and ate and drank, and he said, see now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. But when they went to bury her, they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. When they came back and told him, he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by the servant Elijah the Tishbite in the territory of Jezreel. The dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the territory of Jezreel, so that no one can say, this is Jezebel.
Oh, boy, that's pretty rough.
Wow.
So
I'm glad she read that and not me.
Yeah.
Because we were laughing.
Yeah. So Jehu comes into town, and he's going to be the next king, actually. And in this case, is being God's instrument of judgment.
Yes.
And even at this point, you know, could Jezebel have repented? Could have she been forgiven? And I think,
Yes, she could have.
She could have put on sackcloth and ashes, those clothing of repentance, and got down on her knees and turned to the Lord in repentance. But she doesn't. She does just the opposite. She puts on her royal robes instead, and she doesn't get on her knees. She kind of poses up in her window and looks down and with haughty eyes on Jehu as he approaches. And she's not sorry at all. She is defiant until the end. And as a result, the word of the Lord comes to pass. She's thrown down. She's trampled. She dies. And then she's eaten by dogs so that no one can say this is Jezebel. So in the end, yeah, God keeps his word. He's faithful. A person reaps what they sow, right? But then we think about ourselves, too. You know, do we reap what we sow?
Yeah, I know. Now you've gone from preaching to meddling.
I know.
Yeah.
And when we think about that, what do we deserve? We've sown sin. We deserve death, the wages of sin, right? But, you know, God in his mercy calls us to repentance. We do repent. And for Jesus' sake, we're forgiven. You know, and the beautiful part is we reap in the end what Jesus has sown.
Oh, nice thought.
And I think that's maybe the best way to put it. Jesus has sown his own death on the cross, his bearing of our sin, his perfect life. He's sown all those things. And we sow sin, but we reap forgiveness. We sow death, but we reap life. This life we may show no laughter, as the hymn says, but in the end we'll reap celestial joy. So we reap what Jesus has shown. And that's, I think, a good way to sort of wrap up this story about sowing, reaping what we sow.
Yeah, and thank you, Matt, because that is actually the point, isn't it? Because the word is spoken to us, too. The wages of sin is death. That's the word that's spoken. But Christ is the only one that can change and has indeed changed that word of judgment. Yeah, we reap what he sows. Nice thought.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. Some nice thoughts even out of this gory, gruesome tale of the downfall of Jezebel. So next week, we want to cover the very fat man.
The very fat man,
okay.
Yes.
Join us next week as we look at Ehud and Eglon.